Good morning. Hope you have your Bibles. Turn them to the book of Ephesians. We'll be in the book of Ephesians. It's Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. It's a densely packed book, I think, and I have to admit, it's one of my favorite books. So you can spend your lifetime reading it and still gain like you can of all the scripture. But today we're looking at specifically chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. So please stand if you're able for the reading of God's word. Before I read, I'd like to also thank the choir for everything that they do. And Lynn, thank you. Let's read Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Christ. The truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, we've come before you acknowledging that you are worthy. Lord, help your humble servant here be able to explain, be able to proclaim, because I'm not worthy. Let everything that I say that comes through my mouth just come from you. And have hearts prepared to hear it, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A little about me. My name is Michael Black. I'm an elder here at church. I know most of you here. I think I know about all of you here. A little bit more. I was born in the 60s. I can say that, even though it's just squeaked in there at the end of the 60s. Grew up in the 70s and 80s. About 2 miles from the church here, so a real local. and I have a lot of fond memories from this time period. Fortunately, maybe unfortunately, depending on who you are, these memories revolved around the clothing choices of the day. Some of you may have experienced that as well. Can remember those outfits. Some of them might have been outrageous. Most of the time, they were big, they were loud. Flowers, pastels. Some kind of weird, sickly green and orange. Never did understand that, but that was the choice back then. Perhaps you might have taken up with those fashion choices. If so, I apologize for bringing that memory up. But even then, as today, we tend to dress ourselves intending how we want to present ourselves, how we want to be. The latest fashion trends, the colors. Back then, it was polyester. But all of it fitting in with our current fashion. And after a while, hanging on to these old styles, probably way longer than we should have. Bell bottoms did go out style, right? As well as our thoughts, our behaviors, picturing who, what we want to be, and dressing appropriately, but yet failing to address the new reality of our lives. Today's passage speaks to us similarly, but more importantly, a change in our spiritual identity. We're going to address the passage today by looking at this in three sections, three headings. First, the old futile self, that's in 17 through 19. Then the truth in Christ, 20 through 22. And then last, the renewed self, 23 through 24. We're going to look at those three sections. verse 17 through 19, the old futile self. And just go back a little bit. We're going to set the stage for this section. Go all the way back to verse 1 of this chapter. I'll read it. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you've been called. And as a reminder, when you walk, you're moving. There's action there. It's like you're a traveler on a journey someplace, some destination. You go from point A to point B. That's you're in movement there. And every day, every part of our lives, we're walking. We're doing some kind of movement. In a lesser sense, we're talking about walking, say, in our homes, with our families, to our jobs, our careers, to our medical appointments, running errands. We're people on the move. We have a walk. But in a greater sense, we're also on a path to glory, from the currently earthly location to our heavenly home. And I made sure to say that our current location is, we may call it home, but that's not our true home. Our true home is with God. And if you were with us last year when I preached through Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, I think that was back in October, if you can remember that one. Verse 1, Paul's urging the Ephesian church to walk in a manner worthy of their calling. And have to remember, their former walk was one of futility. And you think about futility, think about there's no end to it. Walking with emptiness, without meaning, without purpose. It's truly walking a road to nowhere. I imagine their walk was like walking around in circles. Or maybe lost in the woods, thinking you're on the right path, the right trail. Then it turns out to be a trail that just disappears or leads you in the wrong direction. Correlate that to the spiritual life. Clearly, the Gentiles mentioned here were those who did not know God. The city of Ephesus, as you recall, was a leading commercial, cultural city of the Roman Empire, a city with a great pagan temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the old ancient world. It was the leading city in morality and sexual pervasiveness. One could even describe it as a wretched hive of scum and villainy. You could say that the church of Ephesus was a small island of despised people in a giant cesspool of wickedness. That was a mouthful. One of spiritual blindness all around them. Paul was reminding the Ephesian church, don't walk that way. Don't walk like you used to. Before Christ, even our old former selves could not see. Not only were we unable to see, we were also incapable of seeing. We were inhabited by our old nature. Our walk here on earth was one with minds that were darkened in our understanding. Our old nature was united in Adam as our representative, and we were part of his transgression. Paul says in Romans, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became foolish, futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The old self both plans and resolves everything on the basis of their own thinking. He becomes his own ultimate authority, and he follows his own thinking to the ultimate outcome, and that outcome is the one of futility, aimlessness, meaningless. Remember King Solomon. Talk about him in Sunday school. After pursuing every worldly thing, a pursuit of knowledge, pleasure, he was the wisest, he was the wealthiest, he was the most favored man in the whole world. He declared that all that he pursued was all for vanity, striving after the wind. And yet we today take no heed to that. Men today continue to seek after the very same futile goals in the same futile ways, leading to the land of Nowheresville. And because the minds were darkened, they were ignorant of the things of God. A darkened mind makes for ignorance, unwillingness to forgive, heartless towards each other. What makes someone ignorant? It's someone who doesn't have an understanding or doesn't even have a desire to understand. Paul says the ungodly always strive to be learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. All men have the inability to know and understand or even begin to comprehend the things of God. When man rejected God, they became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened. It's all by grace we have knowledge of God at all. And all because of all this, their hearts became hardened. They're stubborn. In their rejection of God, they choose to remain in their sin. And because men willingly reject him, God in turn determines to blind their minds. He removed them from his presence. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, of impurity. When men continually decide to follow their own way, they will also eventually be confirmed in their choice by the God of heaven. Think about the Jews who heard about Jesus preach and teach in the synagogues. They heard God's very word given them through Moses, the prophets, David, other writers, but most importantly, God's own son speaking it right to them, and yet they still did not believe in him. As Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. And lastly, they become callous. They become unaffected. They no longer are sensitive to the moral or spiritual things. They reject God and anything to do with righteousness. The sins that were once hidden or excused are now indulged in, openly and blatantly. And we see this in the world today. Even when held up to the very word of God, shamefully as it should be, their sins are not recognized as sinful or as the cause, for they not only do them, but they also give approval to those who practice them. They are callous, deadened to the spiritual things. And our own walk with this journey through this life is identified, as it should be, with Christ. We are now changed. Who we once were, who we used to be, it is that old self. But no, Christian, the old has passed away. Behold, the new self, the new person has come. We now have that new identity. And who we once were has died by the Spirit of God, giving us new birth, a transformation. The old is no more, with all its darkened minds, ignorance, hard hearts, and insensitive, callous determination. We no longer live like that. The new is here. Christ is now our new identity. Our darkened minds are now illuminated, no longer ignorant, but have understanding. The hard hearts are now softened. The callousness, right now, we are now compassionate. We talked about this in growth groups this past week, about our union with Christ. We now have, due to the transformation that's taken place in us, our old identity is no longer, it has been crucified. Graciously, mercifully, it's been crucified. Now we live and walk like we know this. Our new identity is that of Christ. We no longer walk as the Gentiles do. We walk now with an understanding, in dignity, in confidence that comes from him. Hear what Sinclair Ferguson said in the book that we're studying. The knowledge of our union with Christ provides us with great dignity. As I look at myself, I see failure, sin, sometimes shame and disgrace. But that is neither the ultimate or the whole truth about me as a Christian. No, I am united to Christ, a joint heir of his riches, a child of God. Knowing this to be the real truth about me lends grace and power to my life. May that be so for all of us. That's the old self. Let's look, the truth of Christ, verse 20 through 22. Verse 20 says, but that's not the way you learn Christ. Your old self is now gone. You are a new creation in Christ. Now it's time to really learn Christ. We are all now students of Christ with a desire to learn. And if we want to be more like Christ, we need to hear him by reading his words and really learn from Scripture, both reading it and hearing it. We can start approaching our sermons with this mindset. So just remember one thing. What's one thing I can hear from a sermon that I can take home with me and dwell on this week? Just take a pen or pencil and write it down. And it doesn't have to be one thing, it could be many. But if you just resolve to write one thing down from a sermon you hear each week and just think and dwell on that one thing to invest in, pray before each sermon. Say this. Pray like this. God, teach me about you. Give me a burning desire to know about you and your ways. Help me to retain what I know about you. And give me the desire to pray this very thing back to you, what I've learned. And this one's very important. Let me go and share with someone what you are teaching me through this sermon I heard. Which leads to the next point from verse 21. You've heard about him. Someone told you. Are you that someone? There are countless testimonies here at Bear Creek and from those around the world who have heard about Jesus from someone. Most of us grew up in a Christian home. Mom and Dad took us to church. We heard the glorious good news from a young age, and that's wonderful. That's awesome. But you have to remember, some did not get this opportunity. Mom and Dad were not believers. Maybe they said they were, but they never went to church. The point is, there's those in this room who did not come to Christ at a young age. But someone told them about him. They spoke. They heard. And then God worked a miracle in their heart. Christ came, woke you up, resurrected your spiritual deadness, and transformed you. That which was once dead is now alive. And it wasn't just left there. You were taught. You were taught in him. Someone taught you. We need to get serious about this learning about Christ. You're never too old, never too young to learn about God, about the Son, about the Spirit. The living Word is active, breathed out by God for our edification. That's a big fancy word, but edification means for building up. For our building up. We have the Word of God. And let me encourage you, don't ever be content. Drink continually from the fountain. Never, ever stop going to the water trough to drink from these words. Think about those in your daily life who have an infant understanding about God, and then teach them. Each and every one of us should seek the ways to be growing into maturity. Don't be apathetic. That would be like walking like those Gentiles. Pursue. Don't let up off the gas pedal. Hammer down. Pursue. And that means digging into the Word of God. Seek to know and grow. And then go and tell someone what you learn. Teach someone. Be a mentor to that young person, old person, middle-aged person. We never get comfortable sharing about our faith until we actually do it. And if you're looking for a place to practice, look for opportunities here in the church, with each other, in our growth groups, and to our rising students. There are opportunities to teach or to pour into someone. Look for those opportunities because opportunities are there. By learning Scripture, seek someone you know and ask, this is what I read. This is how I understand it. Am I on the right track? Don't be afraid to ask the hard questions. Just be humble. Be genuine with yourself. Disciple there's around you. We say it every week. Go therefore and make disciples. Are we actually doing that? It's easy just to ask someone, how's your Bible reading going this week? What are you reading? Be inquisitive. There's Bible reading plans out there. Good, solid Bible reading plans. Start working on a reading plan. Then share that plan with someone, those around you. Say, let's share this reading plan together and start discussing it together when we see each other. You could start your conversation like this. I read John 14 today. Did you read that? What did you think of how he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Wouldn't it be great if the whole church participated in the same reading plan? Maybe we should start something like this. How did your Bible reading go this week? There are many similar ways like this, but we can hold each other accountable. We learned, we heard, we were taught about the truth in Christ. Now we go to learn some more and share so others can hear and then disciple them so that they can be taught. And lastly, the renewed new self. It's like a culmination of how this passage builds upon itself. You learn, you heard, and you are taught about Jesus. We've established the old self is dead, like cicadas that molt their outer shell. Then you can see it on the side of a tree or a building. That cicada's not there anymore, but that shell's still there. It's existing. And that old shell has been put off. It's not alive. It's dead. Now the new self is there, out there somewhere, buzzing around. But may this be evident of us. Our old self's now put off. Now we are in Christ. There was an old TV show that I used to watch when I was a kid. Started out like this. Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive. Remember that show? I used to love that show. Who am I kidding? I still do love that show. $6 million man. If he was built today, he'd be the $6 billion man. But if you're here, you have no clue what I'm talking about. I'm cognizant of that. It was a TV show. The main character was Steve Austin, not the wrestler, just to make sure everybody knows. He had an accident. He crashed his aircraft into the earth, and then they had to rebuild it. They had to rebuild his legs, his arms, and gave him one eye. I think only he needed one eye. But the government used him to go out and fight the bad guys, right? They fought evil organizations, evil men, aliens, evil robots, Bigfoot. I mean, what's not to like about this show, right? But he was physically renewed. They used him. But God does that to us spiritually. He changes our hearts. He changes our minds. He works on removing that sinful, ugly self. And in our transformation, we have minds that are renewed. Why does it say renewed in the spirit of your mind, but does it say hearts here? We know that both are changed, but in this instance, he's speaking specifically to the mind. Why is that? The transformation of the mind is about how we think, the way we see the world, the way we process things. God is changing our reasoning. We know that's true. The lies we used to believe, he changes, so that our thoughts and our reasoning lines up to his truth. The old futile self is removed and done away with. The old self was ruled by futile thinking, as we established. I'm not getting enough attention. I'm worthless. God doesn't really care. The new self thinks, who am I? Who am I in Christ? How can I display the love of Christ to those around me? Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to the law, God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we, with renewed minds, are no longer setting our minds on the things of the flesh. That would be like doing the old self, the old feudal way. But instead, we have renewed minds that are setting our minds on the things of the Spirit, the things that are life and peace. And to be honest, it's not as simple sometimes as that. It's often a battle. Putting off that old self sometimes just doesn't happen as simply as that. My advice is to be ready to wage war with the battle of your mind. A mindset like Paul describes in Philippians 2:5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have this mind amongst yourselves. who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's so good. We have to approach each day as a battle to be fought. The battle of the mind. Where will our mind take us if we don't seek him? If we don't have that desire to learn and grow and invest our faith daily. If not, we'll be on shaky ground, be swept away into foolishness, become careless. So each morning, when you arise, wake up, dedicate time for scripture and prayer. Renew your mind to be transformed each and every day, because you will be tested. It is guaranteed. But when that testing comes, you'll be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. The new self we put on is created after the likeness of God. And when I read that, I realized we're created in his image. It's just that the fall distorted and marred that image. That is the reflection of the old self that we inherited from Adam. But we now, with renewed bodies, we can walk with newness created after the likeness of Jesus, righteous and holy lives that are in him. It frees us to be more bold and strong in our faith, to where we can learn and grow and share and teach. In closing, we were once unable, but now through Jesus we are able. We were once dead, but now through Jesus we are alive. We were once walking on the wrong path, but now through Jesus we are on the right path. We once had futile minds. Now through Jesus we have minds that are fruitful. We once were alienated from God. Now through Jesus we are united to him. Think for a moment. How did I come to know the Lord? Was it from growing up in a church that someone taught and preached the gospel? Was it from someone you know, a parent, grandparent, teacher that shared the gospel with you? Was it a complete stranger? How did you learn? Did you hear expository sermons each week? And expository sermons are preaching through the Bible, book by book. Did you invest time and effort in learning the Bible and really dig into the hard things? Were you a regular attender in Sunday school or other Bible studies? At some point or another, you heard the gospel. By the grace of God, you came to faith, and with renewed minds, you have an unquenching desire now to know and grow. And by doing so, you have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Don't ever, ever stop pursuing Jesus. He is worthy. He is worth it. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know the Lord. Maybe you've heard some things. Maybe you question some things. Maybe you desire to learn more. Please see me after service today. Please consider to keep attending each week Sunday school, a worship service, growth group. Open your Bibles every day. Invest yourself into a good reading plan that you can share with others. May God reveal himself to you in ways that break down barriers between you and him, between you and others. Let's pray. God, thankful, Lord, for your spirit with us. Lord, allow us not to be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may be able to discern your will, to know what is good, what is acceptable, perfect in your sight. Help us to know you better. Help us, Lord, to love you more. Now allow us to go, share, and love others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.